I don't know about you, but Christmas can come and go so quickly, and often I just sort of miss it, or certainly miss the real meaning. And that's why we're spending the whole month of December trying to make sure as a church together that we don't miss Christmas. It's such a powerful time. Not everybody's family, you probably have somebody who loves Christmas. In our family, it's my four-year-old grandson, Luke and Rachel's son, Henry. He loves Christmas. In fact, he sings Christmas songs year-round, all the time. And in fact, I want you to hear him sing one of those songs right now.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, fun as you ride the van or the sleigh. Hey, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, fun as you ride the van or the sleigh. That you do not know or the sleigh. Here we go. Make it bright, fun it to ride and sing the same song tonight. Oh, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Fun it to ride one more time.
The boy's got his granddad's rhythm. It's extremely impressive. And so Henry keeps us going. He was at our house 2 days ago taking a nap, and all of a sudden we could hear belting that song out from his bed. Doesn't get out of bed, just singing that at the top of his lungs. And Henry also loves lights, especially Christmas lights. He's loved lights his whole life. And so he sort of kept me informed over the last month or two of who's celebrating Christmas by what stores have Christmas lights. So a few weeks ago, it's like, Grandbuddy, Christmas has come to Home Depot. And then after that, Christmas has come to Walmart. And then when we finally decorated, Grandbuddy, Christmas has come to Landmark. And so he loves marking those things. And he's really on to something. Because when it comes to Christmas, lights are so very important. And here's what I want you to write down if you're taking notes today. Christmas lights are not just decorative, they're symbolic. If you start reading through Scripture looking for light, it's all over the story. In fact, in John's very deep theological rendition of the birth of Jesus, he can't get around it. You probably noticed in the video clip we showed earlier, maybe you didn't, is when Jesus is born and in the manger, the symbolism is the manger turns to light. Listen to what John says. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was, here we go, the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, main points today, two simple points. Christmas lights, first of all, remind us that the world was a very dark place. There's two things you got to see here this morning. The world was dark, and Jesus was the light. I love verse 5. It's a very interesting word there. In the NIV, it says, the darkness, Jesus came, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you look on your notes in your NIV, it will add the darkness has not understood it, or some translations, the darkness has not comprehended it. You say, well, that's two different meanings. Well, the Greek word there was meant to be intentionally a little bit vague. And so it means that Jesus came as the light to overcome the darkness. The darkness is battling against it, but it cannot overcome Jesus. And also, Jesus is the light, and the darkness can't comprehend it, can't quite understand it. And so when we talk about the world being a dark place, we're really talking about two things. Number one, the world is hostile to Jesus. The world is full of evil and suffering. We know that today. The world's still a very dark place. People struggle through anxiety and depression, wars and death, sickness and bankruptcy. It can be a really dark place. And personally, it can be dark in your life. It shows up in our vernacular. Sometimes I might say, you know, I'm going through a really dark time in my life. Or I might put it this way. I just got to let you know, I'm in a dark place, okay? And that's part of what Jesus came to overcome. On the other hand, it also means the darkness can't comprehend it. In other words, to live in darkness is to live in ignorance. You know, if you walk into a dark room and you don't know where things are, you are liable to stumble and fall and on your way through that room. In our vernacular, it shows up this way. You know, when it comes to that, I'm just in the dark. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And so when Jesus comes, the world is an evil place battling him. And it's also a place where darkness has a hard time comprehending this story. So that's our second big point. Christmas lights not only declare the world was dark, they declare that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light who entered the world. Now, here's something you got to catch here, guys. The light's not something that comes from within us, all right? Our culture wants to say, you know, deep down, everybody's really a good person. Sorry, that's not a biblical idea. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. If we work our way into it, we can become a good person. No, you can't. It's a dark place. And we live in darkness. And yet the light comes to bring light into our earth. There was a Christmas ad I saw not too long ago. It's just a normal ad selling a product. But listen to the text. The meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph, like that. And we will be able to put together a world of unity and peace. Did you hear that? We will be able on our own to put together a world of unity and peace. My friends, no statement could be more opposite of the Christmas story. The Christmas story says we are all living in darkness, and the only hope was not light from within us, but light from above us that would come and brighten everything up. And so look at a few passages. The Bible talks about this so much. Isaiah 9 verse 2. Love this passage. The people... This is a prophecy, okay, about Jesus coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Don't you love that? Guys, when Jesus came to this earth, a light dawned in this dark place. Look at John chapter 1, further down in verses 9 and 10. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. They needed the same sermon series we're having today. Don't miss it. Here Jesus comes. He's the perfect Son of God. He's everything anyone ever dreamed of, and they don't recognize him. They don't get it. And that's what the light does. It comes to show us the truth. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, here's Jesus' claim. I, light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Oh, I love that term. Twice here we've seen it. The light of life. You want real life? It's not going to be in darkness, my friends. It's not going to be in secrecy. It's not going to be hidden. It's going to be the light of Jesus. So let's talk about what light does. what happened when heaven switched on the light? During the Christmas season, we get really excited about the lighting of Christmas trees, whether it's at Rockefeller Center or the National Christmas Tree or the tree downtown in front of our Capitol. We make a big deal about when those lights are switched on because it changes the whole scene. Now, what are some things happen when the light comes on? Number one, it's just beautiful. That's why we say, well, let's go get in the car and let's ride around this neighborhood out here because, man, they've got great Christmas lights. Or let's take a trip to Callaway Garden and go through the lights because they're just beautiful. And friends, here's what I want to say to you this morning. If Jesus is the light of the world, it's very easy to say, Jesus is beautiful. You believe that? My friends, Jesus is beautiful. I don't know about you, but a lot of things I don't understand about the Bible, a lot of questions I've got, but when I look at Jesus, I walk away and go, oh my goodness, he is absolutely beautiful. His grace, his mercy, his strength, his love, his character, his integrity, everything about him is beautiful. One poem puts it this way, Jesus is the light that breaks into the night, the steady, warm, and true, shining hope into fear. Leading hearts to a full life made new. That's beautiful. That's why we need to look at these Christmas lights as being beyond just nice decorations. They signify the beauty of Jesus. What else do lights do? They reveal. You know, lights, when you cut the light on, you see things you wouldn't have seen otherwise, right? Listen to what John 3, verse 19 says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but isn't this crazy? People love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So light reveals. Now, in some ways, that's really exciting. In some ways, it's a little scary. Light can bring terror in darkness because it shows us things we can't see. You ever been, you know, in front of a mirror, maybe in sort of a dark room, and you're getting dressed and trying to make things look good before you walk out in the day? You think, you know, I'm looking pretty good. This is okay. And then someone cuts the light on, and then you start seeing all the blemishes. And all the things you maybe can fix or maybe you can't fix. It's just the way you look, right? And guys, light does that. In one way, it's a little terrifying to see the truth about ourselves. But on the other hand, light also helps us to see what needs to change, what we need to give to God. You see, the light was not only given to reveal us, it was given to heal us. And that brings me to number three, light guides. You ever been maybe this Christmas holidays in the attic or basement or some dark storage room trying to find what decorations from last year? And so you can't see good, so you cut on that little light on your phone, or maybe you still got a flashlight and you use it. But you go in there and the light will guide you to where you want to go. And guys, here's one of the most beautiful things about Jesus, the light of the world. He's finally shown us. Visibly, the way to live. I think we really underrate Christianity when we almost only teach that Christianity is about being saved and about going to heaven. That's crazy good, don't get me wrong. But it's not just about being saved. It's about following Jesus. Christianity, Jesus didn't simply come to be your savior. He also came to be a model for life. You want to know what kind of attitude you ought to have? Look at Jesus. You know what you ought to cry about? Look at Jesus. You know what you ought to prioritize, care about? Look at Jesus. He's the model. He guides us. You want this life to be okay? Live your life in the light. That's what 1 John chapter 1 says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us from our sins. It guides us. And then number four, it does save us. John 12, I've come to the world as a light, so no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. My friends, if right now, listen closely to me, you're in a dark place, and I'm not talking about this worship center, but you're in a dark place in your life right now. Thank you, Jeremy, for getting that. you're in a dark place, and man, right now, things are not clear. Thank you for being here. You're in the right place. Because we're talking about the light. If you're in a dark place right now, that's why Jesus came. And again, you can't work yourself up into some brightness. It's going to come from you. And number five, so important, is that light overcomes. I mean, if we could get this place completely dark and we simply had these three candles lit, those candles would overcome the darkness in this big, big room. It just takes that kind of light. And that's why we love Christmas. Because deep down, guys, let's be honest, we all know we live in a dark world. All you got to do is watch the news. Some ways it seems like it's getting darker. But we also must believe, because of the coming and incarnation of Jesus, that he can overcome that. That's why we love Christmas movies, right? You notice that no matter how bad a Christmas movie starts, it always ends up really good. Now, I made a feeble attempt. Our whole family's home for Christmas this weekend. And so around the dinner table, I asked the question. I thought it was a really great spiritual question. Try it anyway. What's your favorite part of the Christmas story? What's the most surprising part of the Christmas story? And I thought, oh, I'm about to get some great. And then Taze raised his hand, and Taze says, he got the BB gun. He got the, okay, buddy, great wording. He got, and that is, that's the movie, the Christmas story. What I was looking for. But even in those movies, think about it, it always takes a turn. The Grinch stole Christmas, and then he gave it back. In the Christmas story, Ralphie does get the Red Ryder BB gun. In the Christmas Carol, that old curmudgeon Ebenezer Scrooge learns generosity. And even in one of my favorites, Home Alone, Kevin's family does make it home for Christmas. The criminals are hauled off to jail, and a sweet old man is reunited with his family. They always close with this good ending. And the reason is because the real Taze Christmas story ends with the most amazing ending, that all of these things we've just listed are ours. So what do we do? What's our response? Now I want you to listen. I wish you've never heard these verses before, I guess. Because if you're one of these disciples and you're going to hear what I'm about to read to you, it had to be shocking. Remember, Jesus has already told them, I'm the light of the world. Oh my, look what he does in Matthew 5. He looks at them and says, you are the light of the world. You read much about those dudes? They didn't have it together very often. They messed up all the time. And yet Jesus says, I've been the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Don't hide it. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, here's what we're supposed to do, guys. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we respond to this crazy light that's come to the world? First of all, we reflect the light. Guys, we're not the source of the light. Understand that. We simply get so close to Jesus, keep our eyes so focused on him, that our life begins to reflect. We begin to treat people, forgive people, love people the way Jesus did. He would say, is the light of the world. Kind of like the story about the Christmas play, and this little boy had one line in the play. He was supposed to quote Jesus, "I'm the light of the world." And so his mom had been rehearsing it with him for weeks and finally got time of the play and the kids are on stage and she's still scared. Maybe he'll forget his line. And so she sits on the front row in case he does. And so it comes to the part of the play when it's her little boy's time to say, "I'm the light of the world," and he just freezes. And so the mom on the front row mouths to him, "I am the light of the world." And then the little boy steps right and says, "My mommy is the light of the world." How cool that Jesus would say to us, "I'm the light of the world. And if you'll just reflect me," now that's so exciting for us, isn't it? Because we do believe the world's dark. But we don't give in to it, guys. We overcome it by reflecting that light. And second, we spread the light. The world is dark, but we're the people who go, you know what? Everywhere we go, we brighten the place. You ever been around someone and they walked in the room and they darkened the room? Don't point, okay? Don't point. That's not a good thing right now. But have you ever been around people when they walk in a room, no matter what room, it immediately is brighter? That's what God has called us to do. We spread this light. I want to show you a picture of Kevin and Priscilla Thrash's yard. Show that if you would. These guys know how to spread the light. They live in Sturbridge. You might go to ride over there. There are 40,300 lights. That's crazy. It's beautiful. Much more beautiful in person than you even see in that picture. And what God says to us is, man, look at all these people in here, all these lights. What's going to happen as we dissipate across this culture, across this community, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces? And we're the light of the world. I read a story this week that I thought was really touching. It's a true story about a lady in Long Island named Sarah Passy. And she got a letter on February the 3rd, sort of a mean letter, from a neighbor. And she was criticizing Sarah because her Christmas lights were still out on her home. And so this lady just writes her letter anonymously and says, "You know, why are your Christmas lights still up? I mean, it's embarrassing to the neighborhood. Why don't you take them down? I mean, it's almost Valentine's Day and you still got Christmas lights on." Well, Sarah Passy normally would not have responded to that, but at this moment in her life, it was actually a dark moment. She was pretty offended. You say, why? Because at the beginning of that Christmas season, on Thanksgiving week, it was COVID and she lost her father and her aunt. And before he passed away, it was her father who had put up the Christmas lights. So she's none too happy with this scathing letter. And so here's what she does. She goes on Facebook and she writes this. "I will admit my family's been preoccupied these last few weeks and our Christmas lights have stayed on. I've been really busy making funeral arrangements, trying to pay my mortgage, and just grieving the loss of my dad and my aunt. So yes, we hadn't gotten around to taking down the Christmas decorations. Can I ask you guys, before you write something like that to someone like me, please be kind to people because you never know what they're going through." I love that story, but here's the cool end of that story in that little town in Long Island. When she posted that on their neighborhood Facebook page, the other neighbors read it. It's mid-February, and they go in their attics and their garages and their basements, and they all bring out their Christmas lights. And so in the middle of February, the whole street is bright with Christmas lights because they wanted to know, they wanted her to know they were with her. And guys, that's our goal, is not to be the light, but to spread the light and to let people know that we stand with them. So this morning, we get to celebrate this light. We've been doing it this entire Christmas season as we've been introduced to the Advent candles. Many more liturgical churches do this every year. And it's a great practice. And it's all about light. And so over the last 3 weeks, we've lit three candles that represent hope, peace, and joy. Because that's what Christmas should be all about. Now we come to today, and you can tell we're not a liturgical church because we're going to light two candles on one Sunday, okay? You're supposed to light the final one on Christmas Eve, but hey, we're a free church. We do what we want to do. So, thank you. Yes. So, the last light before the center light is the light of love, okay? There we go. So let's see if we can get this lit. Got a little stuck wick here. Oops. There we go. And let's think about that just for a second, because we're about to experience some things together, and I'm really going to need your cooperation. How fitting as we take communion that we would light the light of love. Because, you know, there's a lot of things about God that are sometimes hard to understand. But there's one thing that just stands out to me is true beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's that God loves me. I hope you feel that way. When I see a God on a cross with spit running down his face and blood out of his veins, and even the Bible says in 1 Peter, they're hurling abuse at him. That's God on that cross. And yet the first thing he says is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yes, it's one thing to love people who love you. It's another thing to love people that reject you. Even beyond that, love people who kill you. Love people who spit at you. And yet that's the kind of love that Jesus had. And so as you go to the communion tables today, it's my prayer that you'll remember that love. Maybe this holiday season has magnified some things in your life that aren't really that good. And you need to remember how much Jesus loves you. Now, the final candle that's so significant is the Christ candle. And the Christ candle is symbolically right in the middle. It's white, signifying the purity of Jesus. It's in the middle because hope and joy and peace and love are all dependent on Jesus. That's where they come from. And so we love that candle because it's symbolic of Jesus, the light of the world. And so this morning, I want you also to be to focus on that. So just pay close attention to what I'm about to say. In just a moment, I'm gonna pray. And then we're gonna invite you, like we do every Sunday, to go to communion tables. They're spread out all over the worship center. You got plenty of time to go and take your communion. But while you're at the table, you're also going to pick up a candle. So I want you, first of all, just to celebrate this incredible love. And then we're going to celebrate Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to create, if you'll all cooperate, an extremely beautiful scene. It's not just beauty because of the lights and the decorations. It's beautiful because this really represents Jesus. And so once you get your candle, I'm going to challenge you to make your way down here. And we need one row in front of this front row, all the way around the middle. And then after that row is full, we'll do the second and the third and fourth. And by the end, more than likely, guys, if it's like first service, we'll all be in the front half of this worship center, all with our candles. And we're going to be singing some amazing songs. And what I want to challenge you to do these next 10 minutes is, man, I know you got a lot going on right now, a lot to think about, probably a lot of things you need to do as soon as you walk out of here. But if for the next 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes, we could just totally focus on the goodness of God and participate in this and help us create this beautiful symbol of light and love, not just between us and God, but between us here in the family of God. We'll be blessed and we'll be out of here in a few minutes. But I'm hoping this will be a moment that will set the stage for Christmas week. So let me pray and make your way to communion tables. Grab a candle, come down here and join us. And let's just, for a little bit, I got to stand with my granddaughter's first service during this last part. And just to sing them belt, hear them belt out these songs, man, did my heart well. Forget about what you sound like. Even I'll do that. And let's just praise him with all our might. Let's pray together. God, whew, this world is so dark. And we're so thankful when we were in trouble, when we were stumbling around in the darkness, and we were ignorant about what in the world we should do. You loved us enough to send your son, Jesus. He loved us enough to come in the less intimidating way possible, not as a God on a throne, but as a baby in a manger. And now did he show us how to live by going through every phase of life and facing every temptation we face. But he also died and resurrected so that we might be in a right relationship with you, that we might be with you forever one day, and that right now we have the power to reflect him and to spread him. So Lord, as we together work to symbolize that, God bless this time. Make this some holy moments that will set the tone for this Christmas week, because we do confess so often we miss Christmas. And so Lord, for the next few minutes, let's get it. Let's be able to say with Henry, Christmas has come to Landmark. Even more importantly, I hope I'll be able to say, I hope each person in here will be able to say, Christmas has come to me. We pray this in Jesus, the light's name. Amen.